about people accusing the police department of racism. And we need to look at our own lives, see if we are racist in any ways. And so we ask for God's forgiveness for our failings as the people of God, for failing to respect the dignity of each person, that all of us are equal, that all of us are brothers and sisters. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy. One of the big items in the news this week was Salman Rushdie's novel, Satanic Verses, and how the Ayatollah has called for his assassination. And there are people who have belief systems that what they believe is important. And if people ridiculed our religion, our faith, do we just say, well, that's just fine? Or do we really believe in something, in someone? Do we try to understand the Islamic point of view that their religion is important to them? And that just as we don't ridicule people sitting next to us, so we try to understand, we try to be an understanding people. And so for our failings to understand, to respect each person, their belief, their conscience, we pray, Christ, have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring all of us life everlasting. And please stand as we sing our gathering song.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will.
Let us take a few moments to greet one another with a sign of peace and affection before we listen.
Is empty, no more traffic in the street. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor in the courtroom, no more hate. Work on earth is all suspended as God's people now wait. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Poor, crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming, praise God, he's coming for me.
And let us pray. Holy God, we gather together this morning as your people. We ask for your help that we may hear your voice, that we may hear Jesus Christ in our lives. Make us an enlightened people by living the gospel. May we follow the way of Jesus to eternal life. And as we travel, may we assist our brothers and sisters on the journey. May we share the good news with one another that you are a God of love and that you promise us eternal life with you. And we thank you always as Christians in the name of Jesus, who is Christ forever and ever. And our reader this morning is George Moodry, who's also running for parish council.
That's not fair. The first reading is a page from a statement of affirmation for the Black Catholic Task Force to the Archbishop. It was written in 1988. Vatican II's dogmatic constitution of the Church speaks of, quote, one chosen people of God with a common dignity of members deriving from their rebirth in Christ and a common vocation to perfection in Christ and in the Church, there is then no inequality, unquote. We are sons and daughters of Africa. Our ancestors were born into a culture that was rooted in a value system which honored faith, family, and history. Today, we yearn to affirm this identity and these same values. We look to our Church to support us and to celebrate with us that God's power is at work in and through us. We are Black people who have found a spiritual home which is universal in our Church. We, by baptism, are made children of one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We are a Eucharistic faith community that has been invited by Jesus to break bread with the whole world. Our history has been told in a fragmentary fashion in bits and pieces. What will become of our youth who feel distant from the ancestors of old and who know little about the man who wanted us to be fishers of souls? How can we survive in a Church who seems to want to ignore our faith, our history, and our culture, while equating Roman Catholic with European spirituality and culture? We are Black Catholics who want to affirm our belief in God, our Mother the Church, and our local faith community. The second reading is a reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Be imitators of me, my brothers and sisters. Take as your guide those who follow the example that we set. Unfortunately, many go about in a way which shows them to be enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often said that to you before. This time I say it with tears, such as these will end in disaster. Their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. I am talking about those who set upon the things of this world. As you well know, we have citizenship in heaven. It is from there that we eagerly await the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He will give a new form to this lowly body of ours and remake it according to the pattern of his glorified body. He does this by his power to subject everything to himself. For these reasons, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love so much and long for, you who are my joy and crown, must continue to stand firm in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Special music today, Anna May and Fred Vogley.
Doors, let the little children
My sisters and brothers, today's gospel comes from the 9th chapter of Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up onto a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became exceedingly white. Suddenly, there were two people talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory, and they spoke of his passage, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Peter and those with Jesus had fallen into a deep sleep. But awakening, they saw his glory, and likewise saw the two who were standing with Jesus. When these were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, how good it is for us to be here. Let us set up three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not really know what he was saying. And while he was speaking, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And the disciples grew fearful as the others entered it. Then from the cloud came a voice which said, "This is my child, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice fell silent, Jesus was there alone. The disciples kept quiet, telling nothing of what they had seen at that time to anyone. And this is the good news of Jesus Christ.
There is a ball in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a ball in Gilead to heal the sin.
Before Darwatha shares with us her reflections this morning, I'd like to introduce some people to you. You know, there are many different ways to go to God, and Christianity is one way of going to God. And on the Christian path, there are different ways. One is Roman Catholicism, there's the Lutheran way, the Methodist way, many different ways to go to God, the way that God reveals self to us. And beginning last September, several people decided that they wanted to choose the Roman Catholic Christian way of relating to God. Religion means relationship. And so every Thursday night since the end of September, a group has been studying the scriptures, studying the teachings of the church, what it means to be a Catholic. And on Holy Saturday evening, some will be baptized, some will be confirmed, some will receive communion for the first time. And I wanted to introduce them to you this morning, not to show them off, but to say these people need your prayers. Will you support them by your prayers during the rest of Lent, so that as Holy Saturday night comes, they'll be ready to join the community? You know, baptism means joining a community. It's not about getting rid of original sin, but joining a group of people who are on a journey to God. And the following people I'd just like to call forward so that you know them, that you can make them feel welcome into the community during the several weeks ahead. And so those preparing for baptism and confirmation and the celebration of Eucharist are Maggie Pope, Kathy Lentz, and Frida Raver. So if the three of you would come up, they're preparing to be baptized. And, you know, Lent is about, what does your baptism mean to you? You know, do you want to be a baptized follower of Jesus? And those preparing for confirmation, not all of them made it here this morning. You know, this is Joan of Arc. There's Liz and Mike Farley, a brother and sister, who were baptized Catholic and now are getting confirmed. Julie Hafner and Vicki Jones, they've come from the Lutheran tradition and have decided to join the Roman Catholic community. Peggy Adams. Peggy was baptized a Baptist and in her search has decided to become Roman Catholic. Is there anyone else here from the group? Oh, Karen Johnson. Karen is also Lutheran. The rest on the list are not here this morning, but I'd like to introduce these people to you and ask you, will you pray for them? And during Lent, as we make penance, as we make sacrifice, we can remember these people who are serious this holy season about their relationship with God, and we pray for them this morning. We pray for all of us that on our journey to God, we may support one another, that we may care for one another, that we may understand the gospel, the great love that Jesus Christ has for us. And so we thank you for being assigned to us, we who are already baptized and confirmed, how important our faith is, that we don't take it lightly, that it is an important gift in our lives. So our prayers are with us, and we pray that the rest of Lent will be a very powerful time for you as you know God's love. So thank you, and you can sit down. And now Dorwatha, who used to be the director of religious education at St. Joan's, and she's now principal of Ascension School on Bryant Avenue North, right up there near Broadway, the Target store up there. Ascension is just to the other side, so let's welcome Dorwatha.
Greetings. I'm really quite thrilled to be here this morning. It's been a long time. I come to you this morning as a woman, a black woman, a black Catholic woman. I'd like to share my observations with you, my experiences, give you something to think about during this Lenten season. I was down in Chattanooga, Tennessee in 1977, right after I converted to Catholicism, went home to visit my parents, thought I'd stop by the local Bible bookstore to buy a Catholic Bible. I was very surprised when, upon entering and asking for the Bible, I was questioned and I was told that I was doomed to eternal damnation for my choice of being a Catholic. Well, being newly Catholic, I wasn't about to go into any impromptu scripture lesson with the salesperson. So I left the store, needless to say, without a Catholic Bible, and I had a very unsettling feeling. You see, in my lifetime, I had already experienced discrimination as a female. I had already experienced discrimination as a black person. But it was surprising to me that I was now going to be put down, negated, because I had turned Catholic. Well, eventually I moved to the Twin Cities, and I was really happy to see all of the Catholics in the Twin Cities. There are a lot of us here. But I was kind of dismayed that there weren't that many black people here. In fact, sometimes I'd go the whole week without seeing another black face other than my husband's and children's, and my own. And that was what I also found in the parishes, in the Catholic churches. Now, I don't see anything wrong with this. I'm comfortable with being one of a few in a parish, as long as I know that black people are welcome. Now, what do I mean by welcome? I hear people get up on Sunday morning and talk about how, yes, we like differences, yes. Everyone is welcome here. Come on, come one, come all. And then they sit down, and the liturgies never change. And you never hear gospel peace. And many times you don't hear a spiritual. Now, it just so happens that I think St. Joan of Arc really handles diversity well. No, there isn't a gospel piece every Sunday. You don't hear a spiritual every Sunday. But you do hear lively music here. Some music that you can tap your foot to, maybe clap your hands a little bit. Sometimes you just feel the spirit inside of you bursting forth from the music that is played. And sometimes I have heard spirituals here, and I have heard gospel music. And if Leroy and his family can't play a number, then Leroy makes it his business to schedule somebody to come that can play it. And they come, and they do. And that's a welcoming stance to people like me that are Black Catholic and crave the more African style of worship. As a Black Catholic, I'm also very, very weary of dull homilies. Dull homilies that lack spirit, words uttered with no conviction. The Word of God is alive. Why don't we treat it as such? Yes, I've heard some sleepers here at St. Joan's, just as I have everywhere else. But they are far and few between some of the most inspirational homilies on the gospel message that I've heard in my lifetime. One that stands out to me happened a while back. It was given by a Black actor. And he probably wasn't even Catholic. But he gave a message about Dr. Martin Luther King's dream and how we were supposed to all be working towards loving and living together in harmony. And it rang enthusiastically true. And my Black Catholic spirit was alive and well that Sunday. And it made me burst forth into my week with new energy and new faith. So during this Lenten season, I think that all of us should consider how we can be more welcoming to people that come to our parishes. You should extend your hand not only to people that you know, but to people that you don't know. Make a special effort there. And share those coffee and donuts with people other than your friends. And as I alluded to previously, continue and plan your liturgies so that they encompass all cultures, so that all people can feel spiritually moved. Now, if you didn't read your bulletin this morning and you didn't listen to your pastor, I have been here before. It was nice for me to come in this morning and get a lot of hugs and warm hellos. I worked here about a year and a half ago in the religious education program, and I made strong ties with a lot of people here. And yet I was called away to become principal of a Catholic elementary junior high school in the heart of North Minneapolis. And that's where my work takes place now. The school, as you heard, is called Ascension. And like St. Stephen's School here in South Minneapolis, and St. Peter Claver School in St. Paul, the population is largely, about 85% to be exact, minority students. And Ascension particularly has 85% Black and Hispanic students. And surprisingly, 80% of the whole student body is low income, non-Catholic. So you ask, how is Ascension faring? Well, educationally, we are providing students with every opportunity that they can possibly have to succeed. And yet we have difficulties that the average Catholic school does not have. And these difficulties are tied up with money. Now I'm gonna backtrack and say that I'm not here today to ask for your money, even though I won't say no to any if somebody wants to give me some. But I know that you are people that give generously to many causes throughout the Twin Cities, and I commend you for that. It's very good, it's very helpful. I just wish more parishes would follow suit. I want you to contemplate today discrimination and how lack of money in the school families and in the parish can impact an entire Catholic school, and how the lack of Catholic families can impact a Catholic school. At Ascension, we bend over backwards to use creative methods to teach the children, and yet daily, children are slipping through our fingers, and we have to bend back even further in order to snatch them from failure. Teacher frustration is gigantic, and yet I witness unfailing dedication in the faculty. How does a 10-year-old child get his or her homework done when upon arrival home from school, he or she has to watch babies? There's no father in the home, and the mother is working two jobs. And who is going to help these children if we don't? How do children learn when they begin their school day hungry and yet out of pride will not ask for food? Who is going to help these children if we don't? How do you teach a 7-year-old child how to read when he or she is late every day? And the child is late because he or she has to get himself up and out the door in the morning alone. And he misses that reading instruction. Who is going to help the children if we don't? Now, we have highly intelligent children at the school, just like at any other school. And yet the situations of poverty frequently get in the way of their learning. As educators, we are not only teaching reading and computers, we're teaching self-help skills that should have been taught at home, and usually are taught at home. Things like basic dressing, hair combing techniques. I have mended children's uniforms in my office. The sad situations are the families that have lost all hope in educational systems and placed their children at Ascension hoping that we can single-handedly fix whatever is amiss. These parents don't begin to encourage their children or support the school faculty. They hardly know how. The children greatly lack motivation. And many parents miss the fact that it is not the school system helping the child to fail, but the situations of poverty. The trust level is so low that when some parents are called about a difficulty, they automatically feel you're either singling their child out for abuse or you just don't know what you're talking about. Not my child, they say. And they don't understand what you're saying because they don't really have the time to look at the child and know what the child is or isn't doing. Because they're so busy with the consuming task of pulling their own lives together. And you find out by the newspaper or by word of mouth that this parent is in jail for crack dealing, or that that parent isn't home from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. And the children are home alone at night. And mom is sleeping through the day. And you hear that a parent is working three jobs to make ends meet. And family members tried to kill each other with a gun. It can be a really sad situation. But who is going to help these children if we don't? Where other Catholic schools have parents working in the office and in the library, or volunteering in the lunchroom, on the playground, we must pay to hire help because our parents are largely struggling with their own lives and they can't begin to give the gift of time to their child's school. Where other Catholic schools can expand their curriculum and parents teach their native languages, we have to forego the language classes because to hire another instructor is out of the question financially. So people say consolidation is the answer. Well, we tried. We tried at Ascension to form a plan with the four other Northside Catholic schools. And when the vote was taken, Ascension School pulled out. We pulled out because only 20 families said that they would send their children to the new consolidated school. There was talk that people from the other four schools did not really want our children to attend. Too much color, too many problems. Now, because we say no to consolidation, we're wondering what will happen to the Archdiocesan support. We are members of the group of schools that are called IUCC, Inner Urban Catholic Coalition, that receive funding that is sorely needed every year. And yet now, everybody is being encouraged to consolidate. What happens to the few schools which are unique in population and situation? We cringe at the thought of what is taking place right now in Detroit, 30-odd city parishes, and that's mainly black people, being closed, and others being told that if they don't get their act together financially, they'll close too. We wonder, can this happen here? Well, high church officials here in this archdiocese say, oh no, it can't happen. And yet I ask you, do their actions belie their words? We read in the Catholic Bulletin that a tuition grant program is being started for the elementary schools, Catholic elementary schools. And everybody says, yay, the families are going to get some money. Well, I ask, what will the criteria be for families that want some funding? Will they have to be Catholic to apply? The question most often put to me as principal of Ascension is, how can we call ourselves a Catholic school when we have so many non-Catholic children? Of course, I answer that all children take instruction in the Catholic faith, that we follow the liturgical year just like at other Catholic schools. We have children's liturgies regularly. My question is, aren't we supposed to be evangelizing and bringing children, no matter what the race or religion, to a better quality of life through the teaching of values? Did not Jesus spend most of his time in the cities, working for the downtrodden? My other concern with the tuition grant program is, how will people go about applying? Sounds like a simple question. But will there be lots of papers to fill out? Will they have to go to the Catholic Education Center in St. Paul? Or can they apply right at the schools? I have parents that I have to literally beg to fill out the school lunch application. These are people that have been denied so much in life that they don't have any courage left to possibly have to face another denial of funds or services. Last June, Archbishop Roach blessed the Black Catholic Commission. I am a member of the commission. And he encouraged us to go forth in identifying and planning towards the needs for Black people in this archdiocese. And the needs are many, as you can tell if you've been keeping up with the news. How can people get relief and justice from police brutality? We don't even as yet have the right to live where we want to live in this Twin Cities. I've experienced that myself with my family. And how about the instances in the stores when I have to show 3 IDs and write down my workplace and my phone number to my workplace, and then the white person behind me can go up and make a purchase with the same kind of check showing 2 IDs? And what about the grocery stores in the neighborhoods that have a lot of low-income people? Half of the meat is rotting. It's dirty, and it's not because the people made it dirty. It's because someone hasn't thought to clean it as regularly as the stores that I'm sure most of us probably frequent, because we have cars to get out to the nicer stores. Because I work in a Catholic school, my interest lies in how we are going to keep schools with large numbers of Black students thriving. Someone has to continue to help these children. Because I am a Black Catholic, I am interested in continuing to encourage parishes to reflect on my African culture in their liturgies. I'm calling people to action for the Black people and the Black Catholic people in this archdiocese. A short while ago, when Dr. Martin Luther King spoke of his dream, I think he knew that it wasn't going to take place overnight. Just as when Jesus talked to us of love and still speaks to us of love, I think he knew that everybody wasn't going to grasp the idea immediately. However, I think if people like you continue to be open to people like me, some change will occur. I'm going to close with an excerpt from the Black Bishop's Pastoral, What We Have Seen and Heard. If you haven't educated yourself with it, I encourage you to. It's a very good pastoral letter. The Black Bishops write, "There is a richness in our Black experience that we must share with the entire people of God. These are gifts that are part of an African past, for we have heard with Black ears, and we have seen with Black eyes, and we have understood with an African heart. We thank God for the gifts of our Catholic faith, and we give thanks for the gifts of our Blackness. In all humility, we turn to the whole church that it might share our gifts so that our joy may be complete." Thank you.
Dorwatha, we thought we'd give you something to clap about this morning. So if any of you are feeling the spirit to clap, or sing with Leroy the little phrase that just goes, walking in the light, goes like this. This is what you sing.
Walking, walking.